Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you guys enjoying the season? 713-572-4610.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com. On Sports Radio 610.
Shout out to Biotex Clean. They keep your office clean, much needed around this time. What's up with your boy Vernon Maxwell? What's up with Mad Max, former Rockets guard? What's going on with that guy?
He wants to be the Rockets coach now, I guess?
I don't know what he wants to do.
He always asks about if Bill O'Brien's gotten fired yet.
Here's what he said about Bill O'Brien the other day during the Texans game. Quote, "If they don't fire that bastard OB soon, I'm going to quit watching football."
That's our guy. I covered his first 2 years in the league as the beat writer. Wild, man. It was wild.
Oh, what's
he was fresh out of Florida, sowing his oats.
What was wrong with him?
That's the cigar boat story, right? Did I ever tell you that one?
You didn't.
I didn't tell you the story about the cigar boat?
You didn't. Tell me a story, OG.
Back-to-back games. He was with the Spurs there, and he was a rookie then, and he was a rookie, and I was the beat writer, and we actually flew with the team. You know, on the team plane. That was back when they allowed that. And Willie Anderson was a rookie as well.
In 40.
Sean Elliott, I believe, was a rookie as well. They had our second-year player.
Might have been a year off.
Yeah, a second-year player.
Number 32.
But anyway, Vernon was he was kind of a live wire, as we all learned in later years. So they had a back-to-back game. Philadelphia one night, Miami the next. Okay. He's on the plane, and I'm in the back.
They all have a back-to-back.
Yeah, that was a tough back-to-back. Philadelphia to Miami back-to-back. So he's on the plane, and the reason I said that is because it matters in the story. And late game in Philadelphia, get on the plane, fly down to Miami, no shoot-around, but game the next night, right? On the plane, he's asking guys if they want to go on the water, that he was renting a boat. So as soon as they land, I'm like, this is just, you know, he's just talking, you know, just being funny or whatever. No, as soon as they land, he rented a cigar boat, like the big, giant, long cigar boat. And that was as close as I've gotten to using inside information to just bet against the Spurs, bet everything I had against the Spurs. But my conscience got the best of me, and I did not do it. I think, and Miami was an expansion team that year, or first or second year, right? So they were awful.
So was this in 1990?
89, I believe.
89-90 season?
Yeah. So Miami was awful.
That was when Miami and Orlando came in the league?
Yeah. And they were bad. They were either in their first or second year in the league. And everybody, and Spurs were favored on the road. Vernon took a couple of guys, I think Dallas Comegys and maybe Willie, and they went out on the cigar boat all they didn't go to bed. All morning, all afternoon. Straight to the, when I got to the arena, the old Miami arena, he was in the same clothes he was wearing on the plane. And I'm looking around going, they have no shot tonight. They have no shot. Oh, boy. I didn't gamble, but I should have.
Wow.
Yeah. I need to ask Vernon about that story next time I see him.
He don't remember.
He may not.
You know how many nights he's had like that?
Yeah, but this was special. This was Philadelphia to Miami, never sleep, on the boat all day, and then go play a game?
Yeah, but he ain't.
I'm sure it's not the only time.
No, you think?
But it had to have been
You think it just happened his rookie year? One of free agents, wide receiver Antonio Brown's attorneys, Carson Hancock, withdrew yesterday from the civil case filed by a woman who accused Brown of rape and sexual assault one day before the judge's deadline for Brown to turn over text messages and other evidence. The reason Hancock said he bailed on Antonio Brown, he also represented Brown in his felony burglary and assault battery case, was irreconcilable differences for his decision to withdraw. That was the reason. He could not function anymore with Antonio Brown. I bring this up because as soon as the Texans threw out the possibility of Earl Thomas, we were getting like, well, why not? Let's go with Antonio Brown. And I get it, but I do want to be fair to Earl Thomas.
This guy,
Antonio Brown is like on another level compared to Earl Thomas.
He's crazy, crazy. There's crazy and then there's crazy, crazy. That's him.
He's loony.
Yeah.
He's very loony. Jerry Jones, he was on 105.3 The Fan speaking to Earl Thomas. He was asked about why the Cowboys haven't signed Earl Thomas, and he gave some in-depth information that I think will be the most accurate, authentic, non-sugarcoating, non-BS stuff that you can get from a general manager, a head coach, or an owner about potentially signing Earl Thomas. Here's Jerry Jones on his message to Cowboys fans who wonder why the hell Earl Thomas was in Houston and not Dallas yesterday.
Well, I would hope that they would assume that I'm aware that Thomas is out there, number one, that I'm aware of that, and I am. Number two, that I also am interested at this juncture in improving this team now, right now, and I am. And so all of those things you would assume that I'm right on top of, and I am, we are. What we're doing then will be gauged by that. There's obviously, I know our fans don't expect to know the detail of what might be going on relative to, you know, this issue, because you can see it's potentially very competitive, and it's also dependent upon our evaluation and just how much we want to act on it. So, you know, that's a mouthful and it's mealy mouth, but it's what it is. We're very on top of this and very on top of doing anything we can do to help us the next game and for the rest of the season.
Jerry, if you're looking to improve the team and you know that Earl is out there, And you don't go after him, does that tell us that you don't believe that Earl necessarily makes this team any better?
I don't want to get there. Your question basically is getting into, my logic. And so I don't want to go there, and I don't want to go there not to be cooperative in our conversation. That there are ways that we can get better. There are prices you pay to get to acquire talent. There are progress stoppers. If you've got a different plan, there's all kinds of considerations that you go into before you decide to make an acquisition.
Are you concerned with the play of the secondary?
Well, I think the fair question is, do I want us to play better? And the answer is yes. Do I see that we've got a path to getting better without doing something that is out of our control, which is acquiring a player? That's not necessarily in your control at all. The circumstances or the demands might be something you don't want to do.
There you go. I think it's right there. I think it's the circumstances. I think it's the demands. I think that makes the most sense. I think that makes the most sense.
I think it does, but he also sheds a lot of light on some of their own reservations with Earl Thomas, including monetary. He said you got to pay a price. So that might be indicating what you're talking about.
You know what else makes sense?
What's that?
W's in October.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
All right. Stroh's looking to advance to the MLB bubble. Coming off that 4-1 win yesterday. Top of the fourth inning. Runner on first and second. Two outs for Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker at the plate. The shift is on. Kyle Tucker says, shift these nuts.
Big T.
Opposite field single, Astros on top, 1-0. The W's continue. Coffee being spilled all over John Lopez's
head. All over
head.
Myself.
It's the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. Some powerful words from Stamper Routes about this Texans team that I think would add a whole new element that would mean trouble for Bill O'Brien. We'll revisit what he had to say earlier next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Stamper Brout visited us, as he does every Wednesday at 1240. And, I mean, he put this out there about what he's seeing from the Houston Texans. Texans 0-3 right now. The one thing that's always been said about Bill O'Brien has been, you know, he owns the locker room. And this team doesn't quit on him. And, oh, they can start out with this record.
They play hard.
They do it. They play hard. They want it out there. But Stamper Brout says he's seeing a team that – might not be all in on their coach. Here was Stan earlier today on Sports Radio 610.
I think that Bill O'Brien has lost a good portion of this team. I think he's lost a good portion of the locker room because you trade away Jadeveon Clowney. Why do you do that? Oh, you didn't want to pay him. Well, why didn't you want to pay him? Oh, we can all make our own qualms about why he didn't want to pay him. Okay, now we come to DeAndre Hopkins. You trade him away for David Johnson, an aging running back who's not in his prime anymore. Well, then we see DeAndre Hopkins looking very, very, very good out there in the desert, and he's got a shiny new contract extension to boot. So as a player, we are taught from high school all the way on that the best players will always play. That teams in college and in the NFL are always constantly trying to field the best team possible. They're trying to acquire the best players. That way they can put the best product on the field. That's now twice in the last calendar year that you have traded away a really good player seemingly for every other reason other than, you know what, I think I found somebody better to replace
him. Man. And what he's saying, that's the first time we've heard that. And to be honest, no matter if you're Bill O'Brien's harshest critic, you always could say that his guys did play hard. You know, they did play hard. Some more than others. Some were checked out and they're no longer here, maybe. But they always played hard. He makes a pretty good point. I mean, just the scoreboard alone, they're not competitive in the second half. They haven't been competitive yet in the second half.
Well, you asked him the follow-up, you know. I mean, it's one thing to say that, but what are your eyes actually seeing for you to come to that conclusion? We get all the context clues being there, Stan, but you got to tell us what you're exactly seeing.
It appears that there is not any extreme disdain, disgust with the way that they're losing right now. We see, okay, they start off the year against Kansas City Chiefs. Super Bowl champions, they're supposed to lose that game. Baltimore Ravens, okay, you know what? They're supposed to lose that game. Baltimore's a really, really good team, despite how they looked on Monday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. Pittsburgh Steelers, you're up 14-3. Like, Pittsburgh is about to give you this game away if you just go ahead and do a few things in that second quarter and go ahead and put them out of their misery. Pittsburgh's ready to hand you that game because we all know Pittsburgh is, I love Mike Tomlin, but they're not always buttoned up. They're not always consistent. Big Ben, he's still coming back from that injury. They're not always consistent. So I have not seen someone throw the Gatorade canister off the on the sideline. You don't see anybody getting really, really mad. You don't see anybody blowing up. I know that obviously, you know, you're not supposed to blow up. You're supposed to be buttoned up, things like that. But you haven't seen anybody get really, 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 really effing mad on that sideline in the press conferences, anything like that. You haven't. And that's why I think this team is now of the mindset, okay, Bill O'Brien, he makes some questionable trades. I don't really, really fool with the guy. I just come up here. I play the game on Sunday. I collect my check on Tuesday. And then you know what? I'm going to go ahead in the offseason, what I have to do, to probably go ahead and get away from this team or just go ahead and be a good soldier, toe the company line. I know that we're not going anywhere, but you know what? As long as the checks don't bounce, I'm perfectly fine with everything going on. I don't see anybody angry, upset, flustered, bewildered, or anything like that because they're 0-3 and not even looking competitive in these three games starting off.
You know, we've talked about they're not good. The roster is not as good as it should be. They have gaping holes in certain areas. They've been, as I just mentioned there, you know, not even able to show up much in the second halves of games. One thing we haven't said is they look like they're, you know, they're not all in with this coach. You know, their players are, I don't know, if quitting is too strong a word, but they're not buying into everything that Bill O'Brien is telling. We haven't said that. Former player right there, Stanford Rout, who joined us about 40 minutes ago, said that's what he's seeing in the Houston Texans. Worth noting, or at least putting a pin in, to see if this is something that becomes obvious, more obvious.
I also think that's kind of the danger of deciding to crown yourself king. Because I feel like any pro athlete I've talked to, the teams that I've covered and stuff, a lot of times there's a natural bond between players and coaches to where they bond together.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say they're against the front office, but it's almost like it's us against the world. And who cares what they give us? We're going to rally together and we're going to do it. But when it's the same guy, the coach that is also the front office guy, and he's making all these controversial decisions, and they're playing out to where they just look like they're making your job more difficult as a player, and they're making it harder for you to succeed, I think that bond and that come together and that hunger and that intensity, I think it just naturally kind of decreases and you get a little bit more defeated. I think that's kind of the danger.
Well, and there's another part of that that I hadn't really thought of, but I think you make a good point. NFL players like to complain about the general manager, just in general, because I didn't get this on my contract. I can't believe they brought that fool in here. I need to be starting. The typical stuff that a lot of people complain about in their places of business. But in the NFL, we need to bring this guy in. There are a number of things that players like to complain about regarding their general manager. Well, who's the general manager now? It isn't someone else. It isn't someone that they can go to the head coach and say, man, why is Brian Gain doing this? Why is Rick Smith? Tell me about how I need to approach this. No, because it's one and the same. It's the same dude. So maybe that has an impact on the product on the field as well.
And, I mean, there's always a reaction to a trade. There's always that initial reaction. And I've never in my career seen reaction like when DeAndre Hopkins was traded. I mean, players that play for the Texans were
making
jokes.
Only one guy made
it,
that move.
And everyone was laughing at it. And it's crazy because a lot of times the initial reaction, it's not proportional because that's what social media is about. It's about overreaction.
Mm-hmm.
People are laughing maybe even harder now.
Yeah.
3 weeks into it. Like they're probably laughing even harder at that trade than they were before. And that was like a historic reaction. And as far as the body language goes, and looking defeated, I think sometimes that can be overstated, especially with like Deshaun and stuff. But I will say, like, a lot of times, if, like, let's say we're doing a radio show, and let's say you're out of town, and I do a show with someone, and I'm again, this is like past examples, like when Smitty's in, we do just as good of a job and all that. So I'm not like trying to like do anything, but I'm just saying, like, if you do a radio show, and let's say Figgy's on vacation and someone replaces him or something like that,
and it's just not the same.
It's just not the same, and let's just say it's not even good.
Yeah.
When I walk out of here, I'm a little bit defeated. I'm just like, hey, it's all good, man. Yeah, you tried, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. All right, dude, thank you very much. It's just like, whatever. But if you, me and Figgy, I feel like we did a bad show. Y'all have seen me. Pissed off.
Yeah.
I'm angry. I'm throwing pins.
Because you know the level of expectation.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when you keep stripping the talent from a team, then eventually it's not like they can talk themselves. Like, what can J.J. Watt say? Can he say, Eric Murray, please be good?
Yeah.
A.J. Moore, please be good. Whitney Merciless, I know you haven't been this guy in a long time, but please be that guy. Oh, Vernon Hargraves, you got released and nobody wanted you and nobody wanted to pay you this offseason, so let's line up there and look like Deion Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point, like, the roster has been sucked
out.
Like, it is the...
And who did it? They can't complain about the GM.
That's what I'm saying, they can't.
Or,
rally
I mean,
together.
They can, but the GM is the head coach.
They can't say we're in this together.
Yeah.
They can't do it. Mm-hmm. Just look at this roster from 2018 to now. Look at it. Just take a look at it. Pull it up. Pull over. Go to Wikipedia. Type in 2018 Houston Texans. Okay. Look at that roster, and then look at the roster that we're watching right now.
Yeah. Two years ago.
It's not even close.
Oh, the secondary is sad.
And the investments that you've made aren't paying off. The offensive line right now, it's not paying off. It's looking like you could have maybe instead of drafting Titus Howard, you could have drafted Josh Jacobs out of Alabama. Maybe instead of drafting Martinez Rankin, you could have drafted Mark Andrews from Baltimore. Maybe you could have drafted J.K. Dobbins instead of Ross Blacklock so you had more running backs. Maybe you probably shouldn't have traded DeAndre Hopkins with David Johnson as a significant package. Maybe you should have called the Washington football team who said they didn't even know DeAndre Hopkins was on the market so that maybe you could have got a better deal. Just look at the talent and tell me why these guys are supposed to feel like they're supposed to go back to 2018 when they started out 0-3 and use that as some sort of rally cry.
I mentioned the secondary. You had Jonathan Joseph, Kareem Jackson, Tyrann Mathieu, and Justin Reed. Now, you got Justin Reed, but Eric Murray, I mean, Vernon Hargraves, Lonnie Johnson, Bradley Roby. Okay, I'll give you Bradley. But
Bradley's, honestly, you could make a case that Bradley Roby's the only really good move Bill O'Brien's made as general manager.
Yeah.
Really good. I'm talking really good. I'm not talking paying the giving the house and giving the farm away for
because Laramie Tunsil is still
he's a good player.
He's playing well.
He's a really good
player. He's the only one.
Everybody wants Laramie Tunsil, but you did trade two firsts and a second. So it ain't like it was a but you can make a case that of all the moves and all the guys that he's brought in, if you just said what is a really good move Bill O'Brien's made, Bradley Roby. That's it.
That's it.
Am I missing something?
Again, Tunsil would be the only argument, but then you gave up the farm. But you know how I feel about that. They had to.
That's it.
But the rest of the line is like off a cliff.
That's it.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas not here either. We'll give you the latest on that. We'll also give the latest on the Stros. You can always count on them. Or can you? Next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Man, I tell you what.
Good Lord.
Making me look like a jackass, Josh Reddick.
You were one of those fans.
Man.
Anytime there's a fly ball in the in a game, they go, whoa!
You know he's struggling. He made it seem like he just hit a 600-foot home run.
Mm-hmm.
Line out to the right fielder. Astros on top, 1-0. Keep you updated here on SportsRadio610.com. Landry Locker, John Lopez. Earl Thomas not here. There were some theories going around. But Earl Thomas is not a member of the Houston Texans. That's fine. If you want to convince, if you want to tell me that Earl Thomas doesn't fit in, okay. You did your evaluation. You had him take a physical. Y'all talked about money, so on and so forth. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when the door isn't closed, according to John McClain, on an Earl Thomas to the Texans 2020 marriage. What? Why? Well, I mean, either you made the decision that he wasn't a fit or you didn't. Like, what's going to change to where Earl Thomas is going to make sense in 2 weeks compared to now? And don't tell me injuries, because they could already use Earl Thomas just based on what they're running out there and what they've been running out there before A.J. Moore got hurt.
Yeah, the only thing that could maybe change between now and 2 weeks doesn't necessarily take 2 weeks. And that's he brings down his price. You've speculated, and I think it's a pretty good postulation, if you will, that it's possible he came in, he took his physical as has been reported. They clearly know what he's capable of doing, so he didn't need to work out. So they really just needed to dot the I's and cross the T's, as they say. But you've speculated, well, maybe that contract that they wanted was just way too expensive. It was just salary cap, you know, too expensive for the risk that they're taking. That doesn't take 2 weeks to negotiate, to bring down, unless he's fielding other offers from other teams. But if they, you know, let's say he wanted $6 million, all right?
They got $8.5 million right now.
All right.
According to Texans Cap. Shout out to Texans Cap.
All right, so let's say he wanted $6 million, and they're like, eh, we got more stuff we got to get done. We were thinking $3.5 million. And he walked away, or they walked away. That's possible. But at the price that he would be coming for, it's very negotiable. I mean, it's not like $100 million and $50 million, right? It's probably, I'm guessing his contract is going to be, given all his baggage, about $3.5 million, $4 million. Maybe he asked for 6 or 7. Or maybe he asked for the full cap space, 8.5. That you can still find a range in there that would keep him happy in an hour. You know, you could. It doesn't take 2 weeks. So the other option is they think that the safeties, if something goes bad with the safeties they have, then maybe they'll think about Earl Thomas. I mean, you got to be kidding me with that. You're saying that if one of our guys gets hurt, then maybe we'll need him. But right now we like our guys. You like him better than Earl Thomas? And again, the other part is they've already compromised their principles. You know, at least once they've compromised their principles by trying to attain him. So it's not like everybody's going to say no harm, no foul, because that's already out there. You know what I mean?
I also wonder, and this is a nobody's talking about, I wonder how this impacts the quarterback. Because Seth brought this up the other day.
Yeah, they're boys, same agent.
Deshaun tried to get Earl here last year, and it didn't happen. Now, same agents, Earl comes, he visits, he's not here. I just wonder what Deshaun thinks about all this, because this is his guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, Deshaun is an Earl Thomas guy. As soon as Earl got released by the Ravens, he shouted him out and said, don't know where you're going to end up, but I wish you the best of luck, legend, all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what Deshaun thinks about this.
Tough call. He lobbied for him in the past, but, I mean, he's just trying to do his job. He's trying to get his offense going right now. And I know the defense helps and the complimentary football and all that Bill O'Brien-isms and all that, but I don't think that's top of mind right now. That's an off-season thing with Deshaun.
I mean, what can you do in the off-season if you're the Texans? I mean, it's a right-now thing.
No. I'm saying it was. And he went, you know, like lobbying for Earl. You know, right now, Deshaun's got bigger issues, including his own. I mean, you know, he's got to get it going.
What do you think Kubiak would do with this squad? Let me change that. What do you think Kubiak would have done with the squad last year and the year before?
I mean, it's hard to say, hey, they would have been in the conference championship or whatever, but I think the offense would have been better.
Deshaun would be further along with Kubiak.
Gary Kubiak's strength, say what you will, you love him or hate him, whatever, love or hate Bill O'Brien, Gary Kubiak, his offense is perfect for Deshaun Watson. He's all about rollouts and bootlegs. I mean, if you've seen Gary Kubiak once, you've seen him 100 times. His rollout and bootleg game is next level. And that's Deshaun Watson in a nutshell. No, his play calling is perfect. Remember the whole controversy? Can Kubiak get Peyton Manning to play his style of game? And actually, he even got Peyton Manning to do a little bit of that stuff. Who's a statue? So, no, that imagine Deshaun Watson in that offense.
Bill O'Brien was asked about fans being in the stands for the first time this Sunday. I think it's going to be like 13,000 is going to be the number. We're going to be there as well. Here's B.O.B. talking about fans cheering on his Houston Texans.
I think it's great. We got to play good, so they're not booing us. We got to go out there and play well. You know, we need to go out there well.
Okay. Got to play well so they're not booing us.
That would be – you talk about an embarrassing moment. You, after the pandemic, well, during the pandemic, but you finally get fans in there. And I think the number that I saw is 13,300, right? So you get 13,300 fans. So people are chomping at the bit, you know, some, to get into the stadium, and then they boo. What if they leave early?
You can't leave early if you're one of 13,000,
I don't know,
right?
Man. I don't know.
If you leave early when you're one of 13,000, you should never be allowed in the stadium again. For many reasons.
What if you have another You Suck Too mother bleeper moment with 13,000 people in the stands?
That would be possible. But if you're going to the game and you leave early and you're one of 13,000, you should never be allowed in the stadium again. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
What are the main reasons that you leave?
Blowout, traffic.
There's not going to be as much traffic.
No.
Okay. It's going to be way easier to get out of the stadium.
Mm-hmm. But if it's a blowout,
you got to hang in there.
If it's 35-6 halftime and it carry on to like the fourth quarter,
you got to stay.
I'm out, man.
You got to
stay. I'm probably disgusted.
I'm out. That's the other thing. If you're on the short end of that, the disgust sets in.
The other thing, though, whenever I would leave a Texans game early or the press box early, didn't have an assignment. A lot of times you could just go out to the tailgate.
Oh, yeah. That's
not
going to
be there, but it's not going to be there.
Yeah, they're not going to have it.
They're not going to have the tailgate, so that kind of takes away that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should they lower beer prices? During the pandemic or just in general?
Just in general. I know on the Bud Light Plaza, those are $2 beers.
Mm-hmm.
Before the game, those are $2 brews, which is a good deal.
That's the bargain.
Which,
there.
By the way, just if you are going there, I think you can order two each. So if you are with your friends, just order as many as you can and take them in.
How are they going to do concessions?
You're allowed. I mean, how are they going to do concessions?
Because
6 feet line? I don't know.
Yeah, but then people are reaching in. I'll be interested to see how that.
I don't want a hot dog without a ketchup and mustard pump.
Well, you're going to have one.
Well, screw a hot dog then. And I don't get to scoop up my own jalapenos.
Now I know.
I got to rely on their stingy asses.
Right.
Don't you hate when you ask for jalapenos and they give you like a little freaking jello shot thing?
And then you feel bad when you say, can I have some more?
And then they say how many.
Yeah.
Or they should say how many every time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You know who's the worst about that? Figgy knows.
I'm trying to think. A restaurant? Fast food?
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A?
Hell no.
McDonald's?
Hell yes.
Those are the only two I've experienced. Chick-fil-A is a great place to go to, great service, all that stuff. But they tend to give you a little, at least the ones I've gone to, a little bit of a side eye when you ask for an extra.
Not in my Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Hell no. You can tell them 10.
Really?
You can tell them 10 barbecue
sauces. Sometimes they give me too many.
Yeah.
I got to write a strongly lettered email then.
You know who gives no Fs about giving out a lot? Taco Bell. Good God.
Man.
Good God.
They just grab a handful.
Dude, yes.
What type of sauce you want, man, they give you like 80 packets.
Yeah, it's all in there. But McDonald's, you'd be better off just walking through the mall and pinching the butt of the hottest girl you see, and you will get a dirtier look at McDonald's when you ask for extra sauce than pinching a random girl's butt.
It's funny you went there, but yes.
I'm telling you. Yeah. I was just trying to think about where you can get the dirtiest look. You get the stank eye when you ask for the extra sauce at McDonald's. I just make it clear I want to pay for the extra.
Yeah.
I just want to pay for the extra sauce, sir. Okay?
My pleasure.
No, that's Chick-fil-A.
I know.
They'll give it to you. Whataburger will give it to you, too.
Maybe it's just the one person I'm dealing with, which they usually do pretty good.
Whataburger will give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Chick-fil-A, they'll give it to you. Taco Bell will give it to you.
Yeah.
McDonald's will not give it to you. Speaking of sauce, Stanford Rout said this Texans team has no sauce. It doesn't look like they care too much. It looks like Bill O'Brien may have potentially lost the squad. That's scary for B.O.B.
You gotta remember this and kind of keep an eye out for it. I hadn't even really noticed it, but Stanford's been in locker rooms, and he notices these things, and he's got that strong opinion on it, that just kind of their, not even body language, but just how they're performing and how they're responding mainly is an issue. And if they don't win this week, well, then it's going to start getting
obvious. I thought J.J. seemed kind of broken Monday or Sunday.
You said that. You did say that.
But it was also a big week for him with his brothers and everything like that. But I did think he seemed a little bit broken.
You did mention that.
Deshaun's not going to be the guy that's going to go up there and bang on the table and guarantee wins and all that type of stuff. That's not how he's built. It's not his mannerisms. I do wonder if there's not enough dogs on this team, like, that are just going to bark and say, hey, F this, let's go. If there's a little bit like more passive right kind of guy attitude on this team.
And that could well be the case as well. I was thinking about this as Stanford was talking. I think I'm going to pick the Texans to win for the first time this year, by the way, this Sunday. I think, just backs up against the wall. And I know Vikings as well are 0-3. But the Vikings are 0-3.
How are you going to say backs up against the wall when it's two 0-3 teams?
I'm talking about for Bill O'Brien and, back up against the wall in terms of, because if they lose, they're done. He's done. The season is done. They're not going anywhere. All right? Tomorrow's news today. I think they're going to win, though. But I was thinking about this. He needs style points. No.
Hell!
No, I totally disagree with you.
Hell!
Imagine
to the no.
I'm not saying
a 3-point favorite.
I'm not saying the Texans need style points. I'm saying Bill O'Brien needs style points.
Hell no.
Dude, let's say they win 17-16.
Cool.
and they struggle just like they did, and David Johnson gets 45 yards rushing, you're sitting here, you're going to come in Monday and say, wow, let's go Texans. Awesome. No, you're not.
I'm going to say they needed a dub and they got the dub. In this situation, I'm going to say they needed a dub and they got the dub.
Are you going to feel all of a sudden like, all right, page is turning here a little bit?
No, I don't feel confident that that's going to happen.
Anyway?
It depends what kind of book we're writing.
That's what I'm saying. They need style points.
No, not this week.
I'll just take the dub any way you can get it.
There's no style points on this team.
But this squad? For Bill O'Brien, there is.
Well, he needs a win. That's all BLB needs to win. You're talking about style points. Man, you might be asking for too much there.
They need to look good. They need to look a lot better, especially in the second half, and especially running the ball. If they win, great. We're all going to be happy. But we'll still be going, I don't know. He needs to establish something good on this team. It needs to look
on the
good.
Offense.
Yes, right? It needs to.
They spent
look
a lot good. Of money. Yeah. They need to put up some points.
Do they miss as much as DeAndre Hopkins? As much as Nuke Hopkins was great and awesome and phenomenal and amazing. Do they miss his? Almost dropped the F word. Do they just miss his dog? Just go out there, dog. Follow me. Follow me. Look at DeAndre Hopkins out there. Look at that guy with the broken ribs.
Yeah.
Look at that guy out there that was so banged up that he couldn't practice all week, but he's going out there and he's letting
taking
you know
the game
he's
over.
The dog. Where is that?
Yeah.
Do you think they miss that? Do they need that guy?
Who's taking the game over?
Every team needs it. Every team needs it. Every team needs that guy that just holds you to a higher level, right? That just makes you... And by example, you know, by deeds, not just words, makes you play at a higher level. Every team needs that.
I honestly thought that Kareem Jackson was kind of that, man. Like, I look, dude, we're going back 2 years. Look, I'm not trying to sit here and write the end of the chapter for this Texans team. And we're all in this together, so it's a week-to-week thing. So don't get me wrong. I said it when they let Kareem go without even entertaining the possibility. Now I'm seeing Eric Murray basically try to fill Kareem Jackson's role. And I'm seeing Kareem kind of find himself as a safety out there in Denver. I kind of felt like he was one of those guys, too.
He was. His last few years here, you've heard me. I've had the conversation with you. There was no one on this team. You used to make fun of me when I said he's one of the best stories in Texans football history. But I still believe that. He was a dog. And he came back from criticism that would have broken lesser men. I was one of them that criticized him harshly.
Slimeball.
Hey, I fell on the sword, and I gave him his due. I actually got to know him pretty well. He was one of the players I got to know pretty well. And you couldn't respect him more. There's not that guy right now. J-Jo. You crossed J-Jo, man. He would.
Well, he wanted to go, though.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying, just in general, on the roster right now, that could let you know hold you to that level.
I said this when J-Jo left.
Yeah.
And tell me how this has traveled 3 games into the season. Mm-hmm. And this is just the bottom line here is not to like harp on what's going on. It's just to talk about the way in which the roster is transformed under King Bill. That's the bottom line. But I said this when they let Jonathan Joseph go. And there are a lot of people that were critical of Jonathan Joseph. This guy sucks. This guy's playing this far off. What's going on with this guy? You know who led the Titans in tackles on Saturday?
Who?
Or Sunday? It was Jonathan Joseph. You know who's
I did not know that.
Yeah, you know who's been playing well for the Titans? Jonathan Joseph.
Yeah.
You know who's on a 3-0 team? Jonathan Joseph.
Yeah.
But I said this when they let him go. I said, dude, I get that Jonathan Joseph is not what he once was. I understand.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand that in a perfect world, you would love to have better corners than Jonathan Joseph. I think you have to. But not once last year did I watch Jonathan Joseph play, even when he was struggling, and say, you know what? This guy should be playing ahead of him.
You're right.
And they brought back the same corners. And they brought back the same corners. How you feel right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
How you feel?
Not good.
Same way.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Shout out to J-Jack.
You're getting a lot of love about my style points.
Shout out to J-Jack.
And I know it. You take a dub any way you can get it.
Those people don't know.
They got to establish something on the offensive side or else style. We're going to be right back here.
When you're talking about style points.
You're talking about practice.
Astros looking to advance to the bubble. We'll talk to you tomorrow about that. Currently, one run lead in the bottom of the fifth. Bullpen's already come in, so this is going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting post-show for myself. For Stanford Routes, the hater himself. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best of the world at what he do. I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. Style points? Crazy? Good Lord. Talk to you then. In the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next. To move on since the beginning. And the seasons know exactly when to change. Just as kindness knows no shame. Nothing for your joy. Thank you, Peggy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.